where we get to hear a word from the Lord.
Oh, yes.
And it's good because, you know, we thank God for who he is and what he has done. He sends preachers, ministers to bring the word of God. And so as we prepare to receive our speaker for the morning, we ask you stand to your feet if you're able. As our own Reverend Gwynn comes in his own way this morning.
Amen. 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 We thank the Lord for being here today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to go ahead and read the scripture so that you may be able to sit, and then we will receive from there. If you would turn your Bibles to John, a very familiar verse, 3:16. Hey, when it found it, let us say amen.
Amen.
Amen. 3:16 of John reads as such, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You may be seated. I thank you this morning. I thank the Lord for having me preach this message. There's some time I questioned the Lord about what he had me to say. And I kept trying to find something else, and he kept sending me back to this message. And it was 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock last night, and I said, "Lord, you didn't give me anything." He said, "Yeah, I did." And so here I stand. But if you would, I want to tell you a Christmas story.
Amen.
Not as we usually hear it, but it's about God's plan for his perfect gift.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we don't understand. What we want to do this morning, I said like this. This morning we want to speak to some that already know, to some that have heard but don't believe, and to those that have never heard. Because it is very important in the day and time that we live in that we come to realize who he really is.
Yes.
Not how we perceive him, not what we think he may or may not have done for us, but who he really is. Amen. And I know the day is youth, so we're going to keep it real simple for the youth today.
Amen.
And because the word of God tells us, make it plain. A little child can understand. Amen. So today we're going to make it plain. Amen. And so we said we were going to talk about John 3:16, and we will. But for right now, we want you to turn to the first scripture that we're going to talk with you about to come out of Galatians. It'll be Galatians 3:15. See, God had a plan. He didn't have the kind of plan that we have. He had a better plan.
Amen.
See, sometimes with our plans, we start out good, but we don't finish sometimes. And sometimes when we finish with it, it's not really what we want. But God doesn't make any mistakes. He's never failed, and he's never lost a battle. So when he sent his son, it wasn't a gift just for you to have, but it was a gift that would give you eternal life.
Yeah.
But as we go on, we want to let you see that it was something else. It was a gift that was going to change you from where you were to who he desired you to be.
Right.
See, it's not up for debate. We can't vote on it. We can't get 3 and 4 or 5 people, 100 people to side with us and make it all right. It's what God has said, and it will happen. So we want to begin with these scriptures so that you can see that God is faithful to do the things that he said he would do. In Genesis 3:15, and we found it. He said this, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is out of Genesis 3:15. Well, see, we are so familiar with the Christmas story that we know. We begin in either Matthew's or Luke, because we think it's real cute about the baby laid in the manger. Oh, but I want us to come to a realization this morning that I don't think that it was cute at all. Because of God, a God that is omniscient, omnipresent, and all-powerful, was subject himself to being like us, to deliver a people that are hard-necked and stiff-necked people that didn't even want to have anything to do with it. He would clothe himself in flesh, and he would come down, and he would deliver them from the very thing they put themselves in. My God. He said it in Genesis 3:15 in the way that we've read. And he said it's going to be fulfilled in this manner. In Galatians 4:4, he said, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." See, he said in the fullness of time. Sometimes we don't understand what he's talking about, because we want it to be in our time. We believe that if we call on God, he should operate in the way that we called on him. Friday morning, "God, they're going to do this, and I need you to fix it." God said, "In the fullness of time, I will." So many times you see in the word of God, he says, "Wait. They that wait on me shall renew their strength. Wait and be of good courage, for I will strengthen thee." But see, we're not a people that want to wait for anything. And it doesn't make it any better, because the way society today, everything is instant. We don't want to wait on lines anymore. We go to the store and want to know, why is all these people here? They there for the same thing that you're there for. But we don't want to wait. We having no patience anymore. We pray to God for patience, and God sent a circumstance, a situation to us, and we ask, "Lord, why are you treating me like this?" Well, you ask for patience. You have to have a situation that's going to bring a reason for you to exhibit patience. Lord, don't make me climb up the rough mountain. I've never seen one go up a smooth one. You got to have some kind of trouble to get up it. Oh, see, I tell you, he knew who he was coming to. And he came anyway. See, he didn't come looking for people that are prepped and ready and all nice and act the way they act. He knew who you were. But we want to say, "Oh, look at me. This is how I am." See, even when things are going so bad for us and we can't stand them, but we want to come in and say, someone says to you, "How are you this morning?" "Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. And everything's falling apart." Now, why are you selling? You can say that believing God is going to take care of it, or you can say it because you feel like that's the good thing to say. See, when you don't even believe God going to fix it. For the last 40 years, I've been like this. But how are you? "Oh, I'm the highly favored of God and blessed." If you are, then why haven't he fixed it for you? See, highly favored of God doesn't mean that you just got to stay like you are. Amen? Amen. But see, in this Christmas story, we're going to move on. We ain't going to stay too long on that. Because this is the one thing that I come to find. See, now, I've been on this earth for 74 years. I may not look like it, but I've been a certain way and been through certain things. And I can tell you, only by the grace of God did I stand here. I don't deceive myself. Because I understand who has me standing here. So that's why I would speak to you this morning. I say I have to tell myself the truth first before I tell God the truth.
Amen.
How many of us know that? Amen. See, when I look in the mirror and I don't like what I see, I can't put a smile on my face for somebody else when I don't even like myself. I'm just trying to be real with you this morning because I'm trying to set you free of some things. Because, see, God already knows what you're hiding. You're not hiding from the one that it really counts. You can hide it from me and all those around you, but he sees it all. He knows exactly how you are. You can put the smile on and the airs on to everybody like you, but see, he knows exactly what you do. You say, if I quit all this and I never done that, he knows exactly what you've done. But the thing about this is why I'm telling you this, because I want you to see the God you serve. In the midst of all those things, he was willing to come and be spit up on, to be beaten, and to be false accused, to be nailed to a wooden cross. Do you know it says that every man that hang on a cross is cursed? But then when I stand here this morning and I think about what he went through for me, and sometimes I can't even raise my voice to say hallelujah. I can't stop and grab somebody by the hand and say, do you know Jesus? See, I can't go to the person that disliked me and say, look, let me tell you something about the one I love. Have you ever heard about him? Because, see, we start to find that we have room to be as we want to be. But if I belong to him, I'm just a servant. He's the master. If he tells me to go, I need to go. See, I can't tell him because, oh, well, Lord, you don't understand how they treated me over there. Well, you don't understand how they treated me for you, that you might have that opportunity. But see, here this morning, we want to move on because, see, this was thousands of years before he ever was. Amen. So we come to Genesis 18, 18, because he promised a seed to Abraham. I want you to see the faithfulness of God so you understand that when we get to the last part, what God did for us, amen? And what he's done for us is not something to whether or not can we do or can we not do. Amen? So he said here in Genesis 18, 18, he said, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. He said he fulfilled that. If you looked at Acts 3:25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenants which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. So I want you to see that what God says, he performs. Amen. We're going through the prophecy now. Understand, Jesus didn't fulfill them all when he first came. But I want you to see these that we're going to speak on to know that God is faithful to do what God said he would do. Amen. And here in Numbers 27, 17, he told him he would be the seed of Jacob. Numbers 24, verse 17, he said, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. And he fulfilled that in Luke 3:34. He says, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Tyre, which was the son of Nicar. So what he is showing you that he is in the line to be who he said he would be. The reason why we're going through this. Because, see, sometimes we have questions. And when, Lord, can you? Lord, will you? See, but I want you to understand this morning from a spiritual perspective. Because we have a tendency to look at the outward and how the outward is doing. Whether it be the body, whether it be the finances, whether it be the house or whatever, we take a look at it, but we forget about the spiritual. But see, the thing about it was, he did everything he did in the spiritual. Now, is he able to heal the body? He's able to heal the body. He's able to provide everything you need. He is able to provide anything that you have need of. Do you have to call on him? Yes, in one sense, yes, but you don't, because before you even speak, he already knows what you have need of. See, you're not bringing him something that's unique that he never seen before or ever heard. You know how we get sometimes. Lord, this is one of those problems I don't think you ever handled. There's nothing he hasn't handled. See, and we come here to where he wants you to understand that he was a descendant from the tribe of Judah. And it's important. Because, see, there, and I'm going to take this little side note. As I was looking, 999,000 religions in the world. A lot of people, isn't it? All of them got a different belief. But guess what they all said? I'm going to heaven. There's a high deity that I'm going to spend time with. And they believe that. They tell you Jesus is not the only way. There are many ways to God. But that's not what the Word of God says. See, the Word of God tells you, Jesus said, I am the way. The truth. See, there's no other way. Not even when we try to fashion it ourselves, there's no other way. See, I can't take what I think is good and hold on to it. That's the way you might start, but that's not the way you should finish. See, let me ask a question before I move on. I got a little time, but I'm going to speed up here a little bit. How many of us sitting in this morning know the Lord? You don't have to raise your hand. That's all right. But I mean, you know. But I'm asking you a question. And if you know the Lord, then why is it that when certain things happen, you think you got a problem? See, I'm not in the Lord. I am perfect. I didn't say that. God did. He said he perfected you in Christ. Now, when I say perfect, you're going, well, yeah, now you ain't perfect. See that word, if you do the Greek side of it, that's complete. He said in Christ, you are complete. And you are. But if I listen to everything else and then I say I'm going to go do the will of God, how can I? When I don't believe what his word said about me. I'm not talking about how you're talking and how you're acting. See, if you receive him as Lord and Savior, he is your Lord. See, you surrendered your life to it. No matter how bad you're being on a day, you still his. But if I govern myself to be how I act, then I'm talking about holding on to my own righteousness. Because then I'm trying to make myself right before God. Oh, I'm trying to help you this morning. See, I'm trying to say I'm right because how I do and what I do. And that's not the way it is. See, if I sin, it does not change who I am. You say, well, preacher, wait a minute. What are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to help you this morning. If I sin, I'm still righteous. I just broke fellowship with it. Now, I can fix my fellowship. 1 John 1:9 says so. Amen? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is my fellowship. But when I receive him as Lord and Savior of my life, he counted me righteous. Oh boy, I see him staring. I want to tell you something. See, that's what stopped you from believing that he can heal you when you're sick. That stopped you from believing that he's able to take care of you when you have a need, when the money's not showing. See, that's the reason why when he was standing there at the treasury and when the lady threw in the 2 mite, what he had to say about it. It wasn't about money, because men, he told you many more put money in that than she did. See, because he was her God that he trusted, he could have everything she had, and she knew she wouldn't be without. How about you today? You say, now you want to get on tithes. No, God don't want your money. He wants you. That's where I'm trying to get you to. So I want you to understand that what he gave you is not broken. He gave you a perfect gift on the day that we celebrate. And that gift is doing everything it said it would do. And I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to move on to the next fulfillment. We all live in a house that have electricity, right? And we know if we don't pay the bill, they're going to cut it off. But knowing that I paid the bill, and I go to the lamp that I have sitting in the corner, and I turn the lamp on, and it don't show up. The light don't come on. And I look down and I see that the cord that the attached to the lamp is hanging down on the floor. Now, is it the one that provides the power at fault? Or because the lamp is not plugged into it? Well, I hope you hear me this morning. See, I can't get the power that I need unless I'm plugged in. I don't care about how many times that I pay for it. If I don't plug it in, nothing happened. What I paid them last month, I can call them up and tell them I paid them. Now, yeah, you sure did. Well, why my light not working? Well, have you tried to see if it's plugged in? Because if I'm not plugged into the source, what I'm looking for won't ever happen. See, I got to get plugged in. And I'm going to move on. I'm going to quit. See, I can't plug it in halfway. Because if it's a little shaky, it might fall back out. I got to commit myself all the way. See, just like with Jesus, I can't engage him just a little bit. I can't ask him to be just part of the affairs that I think is too hard for me. I got to ask him to be part of everything of me. See, I can't get up in the mornings and think because I put my foot forward, it was me. Yo, you don't understand that. See, what God is looking for is total dependency from you. He's asking you to give up everything that you got and take everything that he has. To be totally dependent on everything you do. You say, what you mean? See, if he don't have control of your feet, you're going to go where you want to go. If he don't have control of your eyes, they're going to go where you want them to go. The hand's going to do the same thing. But if he's in control of him, you're not going to have to be talking about it. See, that's why Galatians, we don't have time to cover the whole Bible, but that's why Galatians do what Galatians does. See, he said, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't have to be running around talking about, oh, I'm having a hard time. I can't look at her passing by. I'm telling you this morning, you need to get it right. See, long as you're living the way you want to live, you're not plugged in. You're saying that the gift that I was given was broken. But let's move on. He said that he'd be heir of the throne of David. Isaiah tells us about that. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Matthew 1:1, when we look at the fulfillment of it, he said, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He fulfilled it in that time. Now in Michael, he talked about the place of his birth. 700 years before Jesus was born. 700 years. And not 7 days, not, 7 weeks, 700 years. So I want to say to you this morning, if God, being God all by himself, 700 years before a thing happened, orchestrated to where it come about at the very time that he wants it. Do you think he can't do what you need done for you at the time it needs to be done? Is he so weak that he can't handle what you consider a problem? See, I spoke to the Lord about this message. I tried to go somewhere else, I tell you, but he wouldn't let me go. Wouldn't let me go because somebody needs to hear it. See, I can't engage the fulfillment of what God has done if I keep thinking I'm the same. If I keep seeing myself the same. You say, well, preacher, what that's got to do with it? I heard the word of God say, so a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I think that I'm not, I'm not. That's the truth. If I'm not willing to engage every day, that Lord, what do you have from? See the thing when I said about that trouble, about that lack? You know what? Every time, something like that happened, guess what God is doing? See, you can't grow. How many of us ever exercised in here? You ever been to the gym? See, I used to go to the gym all the time. And I can tell you about exercising. See, I can stand here and tell you this morning and not lie to you. I used to squat 700 pounds. I deadlift 700 pounds. I bench over 400 pounds. I learned how to make the muscle exercise itself. See, this was the thing about it. If I can go in and push the weight all day long, if I don't have resistance to the muscle, it's not going to do anything. If you're going to grow spiritually, if there's not any resistance, you're not going to ever grow. So when you say trouble come, I say opportunity. Ain't nothing about, see, I can't go where I say I want to go and be what God say he wants me to be. And every time that he says, all right, you're ready, get down there and lift that weight. And you're all, but that's too much. I'm never going to get that. But see, when I'm challenged to go ahead and let that so-called irritation do what it's going to do and trust God for the results of it, guess what happened? Next time it shows up, I'm going to laugh at it. Why? Because I know I have a God that can solve whatever the circumstance or situation is. See, I know my trust is not in me. I'm not looking for me to resolve it. I've given up that responsibility. See, it's no longer my responsibility for me to worry about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to drink. Now, preacher, you're getting way out there. You got to get up and go to work in the morning. Well, who calls me to get up and go to work in the morning? See, you're missing it when you start to think like that. Because that didn't nothing say to you that morning. What told you you had a right to rise up that morning and go to work? Because you said so?
Okay. All right. Amen. So what I come to understand and what I realize about what the Word of God was doing, the Word of God was shaping me to the truth of his Word. And you say, well, now, preacher, how was he doing that? See, he was setting me free from the way that I think and the way that I operate and what I think is how it should go and how it should not go.
to understanding that he has a plan and a purpose for my life. See, willing to give up my plans and my purpose. Oh, you just get up aimlessly and do things? No, that's not what I'm saying. See, he that's in you, if he's leading and guiding you, you're not doing anything aimlessly. Because he's leading and guiding you to fulfill the will of God for your life at that day and time. That's why he says his grace is sufficient. Amen? So we see that here, to follow this, in 700 years before he was born, Michael said this in Michael 5:2. He said, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, who's going forth and been from of old, from everlasting." He said in Matthew 2:1 like this, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem." See, he said 700 years before where he would be born. And he was born where he said he would be born. You see, he wasn't born anywhere else. You would say that the word of God said that Mary was pregnant as she was going. And the way, if you read it, it sounds like that she could have had the baby at any time. But she didn't. And you see here what God has spoken 700 years before happened at the very place and at the very time that he has spoken. He also said that he would be born of a virgin. And he told us that out of Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." God with us. See, God is with us. If the truth be known, if you know him as Lord and Savior, he's now near. He's not far. He's living within you. See, the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, is in you. Amen. So I see some stares, so let's turn to Romans, if you would, with me in the 8th chapter. We're going to take a look and see what the Word of God says. And when we all found it, let us say amen. So we're going to do this very quickly, but here in the, let's begin with the 8th verse. And we found it, Romans 8:8, and we found it, let us say amen. He says this, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." See, when he said he was going to send you a comforter, he didn't send you something different. He sent you the same one that raised him from the dead. Now, if he was able to raise up Jesus from the dead, how is it not that he's able to do the things in you that God sent him to do? Well, I'm just trying to get you to see something this morning, that you're not who you used to be. When you look in the mirror, you might look the same. You're looking on the outward. See, because the outward is looking the same, but there's a thing about the inside. He didn't come to save the body, amen? He got a new body waiting for you. He came for you. He came for your soul. Amen. He came for your spirit. He's given you a new spirit. He's given you a new heart. These things he's done. See, when he gave his gift, Jesus suffered everything for you. He did everything. There's nothing for you to add to it. Many times when we engage, we want to add something. We feel like we got to do something. See, the only thing we have to do is obey, trust, and obey. Trust and obey. That's all he asked for us to do. He don't ask anything else. Amen. He did everything. He suffered on the cross and died. He was the only one that was sinless, that would be able to take our sins from us. There was no one else. See, if any one of us could have done that, there would not have been a need for him. But we're going to see that in just a moment. I wanted you to look at that, but also let's take a look here in back in Romans in the 5th chapter while you're already there. And we're going to get ready to close in just a moment. But let's do something. The Spirit reminded me. Let's do something. Let's turn to Ephesians before we go to Romans 5, please. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians, the 1st chapter. Now, I understand that a lot of people may already know and heard this, and I'm pretty sure many have. But it's just a matter of remindment for some. It may be something that's opening their eyes to what God is doing. Amen? So here in Ephesians, if we found it, the 1st chapter, we're going to look at verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us acceptable in the beloved. Before the foundations of the world, before you ever was, God chose you." Oh, see, you got to understand something. See, many times we feel like that I don't measure up. God measured you before the foundations of the world. God said, "I want you." He said, "I want you." No matter how you feeling about it, God chose you. No matter how you feel, "Oh, I've been this and I've done that and I just don't seem to be able to get it right," God chose you. As I told you in the beginning, it's not a democracy where you vote and get people to get along with you and they all agree with you. God did it. And no man can change it. So when we look here, see, he said in that 7th verse, "And in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the righteousness of his grace." I have yet to find anything that said, "Somehow I done." It said it was his grace. He chose. I'm still trying to find something that I'm going to do going to make things okay. See, I've been many years trying to figure out how I was going to live up to what being a Christian. Till I finally woke up one morning and said, "I can't do this." And I'm going to stop trying to do it. But I'm going to trust him for what he can do. You heard my testimony. You heard my testimony many times. I had stage 4 cancer. I'm no more favored than anybody else sitting in here. But I got on my knees and I cried out to God. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to do what you're going to want me to do. I'm going to trust you for what you want to do. Why I'm having it, I'm not going to even ask you that question. What I'm going to do, I want to be who you want me to be in the midst of where I find myself. And if that's pleasing to you, that's all that matters. If I don't stay here, I'm all right. But if I stay here, let me know why you did what you did so I can be a blessing to somebody else. See, I didn't have any on faith. But, you know, the one thing the Lord said to me, he said, now look here. And I got a couple more scriptures, then we're done. He said, look here. He said, go to that one that's quoted all the time. Now, you'll know where I'm talking about in just a minute. I'm leaving it like this. So he said, his anger is but for a moment. You know the verse I'm talking about? Somebody call it out. He said, in his favor is life. But this is the part we all know. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy coming in the morning. See, but somebody, if he said to you, tell me the first part and I heal you. And you say, in his anger, it's but for a moment. But now why I have that other part on it? You see, but he said in his favor is life. But if I didn't know that one and I only held on to the other part that sounded so good, how was I going to put myself in a position to see the other part fulfill itself in my life? Well, I hope you hear what I'm saying to you this morning. So I started thinking about, let me find out about that first part. So that when the morning come, in the morning come, I can say I got joy. See, I don't just have to say it because that's what it said and it sounds good to me. But I want to experience it. See, I don't want to go to the house of the Lord and sit in because I feel like it's my duty. But I want to experience him when I walk in the house. I want to expect him to do something when I walk in the house. I want to see some changes done when he walk out. He don't have to do it to me. But if I see him doing it to somebody else, I know my God is moving. And I'm just as happy because he did it for somebody else. Even if he didn't do it for me. See, it's a problem when somebody get blessed and somebody get mad. Why did the Lord do it for them? See, but I want to move to that place that when God is moving in your life, only through him is just as much as it's for me. So I tell you that there come a time when we have to stop being who we used to be and be who he has caused us to be. I got to stop thinking how I once was and start thinking how I am now. Because if I keep thinking like I was, nothing is going to change. See, I keep fighting against something that I keep fighting against flesh every chance I get. And when the war, my war that I fight is not against flesh, but against principalities and powers. See, it's the unseen things. But I'm spending all my time fighting on the things I see. Thinking that I'm doing the will of God. Oh, see how well we can't get along because we always find ourselves fighting against one another. Fighting against flesh because I don't like how you think. I don't like what you see or how you feel about certain things. What that got to do with anything, people? Time has come that we come to realize what God has done. He didn't leave us like we were. And we don't need to keep acting like we were. Every time I read in the Bible, it's past tense. I was like that. Time passed, I had my conversation and things like that. In time passed, I acted that way. But now, see, when the gift has come, see, if I receive the gift, I got peace. See, I say to myself, I say, Lord, I don't understand, but I say, this is the thing I want to say, and I'm going to take my seat. I'm not going to even finish the other part. But this is the thing I want to say. You said in this world I have trouble. But be of good courage because you've overcome the world. You told me that your peace you give unto me. Not as the world give peace, but I give my peace unto you. to not to be troubled, nor be afraid. So what peace am I living out of? When everything that happened in this world becomes a certain way, we see it today, all the things that are going on. And we're troubled by all those things. We're concerned about them. We can't even discuss the Bible for discussing all the things that are going on. And I'm not saying you guys, but you see people in the world are caught up in it. People are fighting over it and people are killing over it. But if I got peace, if I'm resting in his peace, so when they come to me, what am I answer going to be? See, when they come to me, how am I going to tell them? What am I going to tell them? Hear what I'm saying to you. Somebody has to shine a light in darkness. Someone has to. Because when it comes to you, if I don't go to the Word of God and give him what the Word of God says, and I give him my opinion, the only thing I'm doing is shining more darkness on darkness. I should have a biblical point of view about everything I'm asked. See, that before I got saved, I had a worldview. I hooked up and got along with them, and I thought like them, and then I act like them. And everything they say, if I agreed or disagreed, well, okay, that was fine. But this I've come to learn, that when you ask me about a situation and you question me about something going on, whether no matter how hard it is, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to sit in church and say, I don't believe in abortion. And then when I get it work and somebody put the pressure on me, well, all us think like this, how do you think? Thus saith the Lord. Like me or don't like me. Cast me out or don't cast me out. But this is one thing. I'm going to stand for the Lord. Because he said, if I deny him, he will deny me. But what is happening is I present this to you. You say, well, no, preacher, you're trying to be hard. No, I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just trying to move the scale from somebody's eyes. It may not be you, but bear with me because somebody needs to hear. Somebody needs to understand that you just can't go day to day like that. You can't say that I'm all right because I don't do this and I don't do that. I stopped doing this. Well, I used to get drunk every day. I don't get drunk anymore. What that got to do with it? See, that's why I took you through all these scriptures. You was a sinner before you ever took a drink. Drinking didn't make you a sinner. Drinking is what sinners do. Oh, wait, you don't understand. I can't stay out of nightclubs. Oh, hold on a minute. What that got to do with anything? We have to understand. You're not upgrading yourself. You can't. Because you said to God, I stopped doing this. And he's supposed to be surprised and glad that you did. He knew it already. Well, you ain't preaching. Yeah, I am. It's just whether you're hearing or not. Some things are hard to hear. I tell you, and I'm not trying to be mean, but I tell you, people used to ask me about, do you know Jesus? You know, I tell them, yeah. No, and I didn't. Because I didn't want to hear what they had to say. And I knew I wasn't going to do what they were talking about doing. But see, I'm telling you now, when you say you know Jesus, this is the thing about it. And the Holy Spirit living in you, and we're out of time. Guess what he's doing? If he's living in you, turn back to Romans 8 real quick, and then we're going to end it with this. And I'm going to take my seat. In Romans 8, he says it like this. Yeah, I'm trying to get here. So in Romans 8 and verse 14, he says this. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many that are led, that means as many that are plugged into the power. Because if you're plugged in, he's the one that's steering your life. You stop steering. You got over in the passenger seat of your life, taking your hands off the wheel and allowing him to do whatever he wants to do. But if you're still in control, you know how it is when you're teaching somebody to drive. They want a pedal on the passenger side. So you can step on it and stop them. Well, what do you say, preacher? See, that's the way we are when God comes into our lives and begin to move and to change things. You know, Lord, you're interrupting what I got going on. You caused me not to be able to do what I wanted to do. See, we're trying to put the foot on that left pedal over there. But when the Holy Spirit is leading your life, guess what? Nobody has to ask you to come. Nobody has to ask you to shout. Nobody won't have to tell you how scarce Wednesday night Bible studies are, or Monday morning Sunday schools are. Nobody has to tell you about your giving. Nobody has to tell you about anything. Guess what you're doing? You're allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he's doing in your life, and you're not counting what it's costing you. Because look at what he cost him. They beat him all night long. They pulled his beard out. They spit in his face. They nailed him to a cross. Speared him in his side. And he said, for the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross, despising the shame. And he sat down. So I say to you this morning, if you truly know him, and you truly want to know him deeper than what you know him now, start seeking after him. Because he said, if you seek me, you'll find me. See, I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with just knowing him. I'm not satisfied with just getting saved. I'm not looking for hell insurance. See, when I get saved, I say, I know I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. But I'm looking to know him in the fullness of who he is. I want to know why he was willing to do what he did. And I'm willing to trust him with everything that I have. I say, may God bless you, and may you continue to serve him. Amen.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."